Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is reading of God's word. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Oh Father, how we're hungry and thirsty for your word. And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness in providing your word. And give us the ear that they would hear your voice through your word. Let us hear it and believe it and obey it. Let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And in his name we pray. Amen. Jesus Christ, the King of the Kingdom of God, he is proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. He is witnessing through this sermon the coming of the kingdom of God, and he witnesses the reality of that kingdom. He shows us the life that belongs to heaven. He shows us the true pictures of the citizens of heaven. And he continues, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Distinguishing characteristic of the heavenly life is this. It is a narrow life. The narrow gate and the narrow way. God uses these two things to show us how heavenly life looks like in this world. The narrow gate and narrow way. Meaning that from the start, it is narrow. And it continues to be narrow until we get to heaven. The gate is narrow and the way that is behind that gate is also narrow. This is how, in our passage today, God describes your life in this world. To live a heavenly life, to live a Christian life here on earth is not an easy thing. Let us never be confused of that. It is really difficult. There is so much sufferings and persecutions, so many difficult times and hard times. And these sufferings and persecutions and difficult times are promised by God. John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Acts chapter 14, verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And the passage that I read to you so often, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And as you know, we could go on and on with these kind of verses. The true Christian life is not an easy life to live when we are here on earth. Even in this Sermon on the Mount, our Lord has been continually telling us how difficult it is. Do you remember what we learned in chapter 5, verse 39? You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Let us go to chapter 10 of Matthew. Chapter 10, verse 37. Jesus says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. And in chapter 16, verse 24 and 25, Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It is hard life because we must deny ourselves on this narrow way. We must take up our crosses daily on this narrow way. On this narrow way, in order for you and I to walk on this narrow way, we must forsake this world. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, meaning Jesus Christ, I will follow you wherever you go. So far, so good, right? I will follow you wherever you go, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. You get the point. Do you understand what you are saying when you say you will follow me? I don't even have a place to lay my head. And you will still follow me. And Jesus said to another, verse 59, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. Now, don't you think Jesus is too harsh here? Let me go and bury my father. Then I will follow you. Verse 60, but he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. Again, what is wrong with that? Let me just go home and say goodbye to those people at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Do you understand what you mean when you say you will follow Jesus Christ? Do you understand? Because these people say, I will follow you, but they always have but. Look at verse 51. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. When the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. Now that is the context. Jesus is headed for Jerusalem. Now, why is he going to Jerusalem? He's going there to die. And he's going there to die, and these people are coming and say, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus is, in fact, asking them, do you understand what you're saying? Now he's asking you, do you understand what you are saying when you say you follow Jesus Christ? Let's really think about this. God is not deceiving you. He's not telling you, you will follow me, then everything will be okay, and every desire that you have will be fulfilled. No, he's not saying that. He's being very, very clear and honest. Are you still going to follow him? That's the question. Because his way is way to death. Go to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. And I know that we looked at this verse, at least for many of you, we did together. But let us remind ourselves what God is saying to these verses here. Luke 14, verse 25. Now large crowds were going along with him. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it. Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. Therefore, salt is good, but if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, if we are to be very honest, isn't Jesus a little bit too harsh here? He's asking a little bit too much, don't you think? If you are building a building, you will count how much you have, and you will calculate whether you have enough to build it. This narrow road, narrow way that God is commanding us to walk on, is it worth all my sacrifices? God is asking you to calculate. Calculate. And if you believe it, if you believe that it is worthy or worth it, then I don't even have to tell you or do anything, because you will go. Because you believe it's worth it. And remember, no one is forcing you to go on this way. Obviously, God is not forcing you, and I hope that this church is not forcing you. And more importantly, that this pastor is not forcing you. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, it is truly narrow gate and truly narrow way. It is very hard, very difficult. But I believe it is worth all I have. It is worth my life. Because at the end of that road, I will meet my Lord, Jesus Christ. It is way to gain Christ. And even as you walk on it, you may have to lose everything. But God is telling you to calculate this. You understand that Christ and Heaven OPC is already on this narrow way. I want you to understand what kind of church this church is. Now, you know, there are all kinds of churches. And there are all kinds of churches that emphasize all kinds of differences. And I believe that we all need all of that. I'm not saying, you know, we need just certain kinds of church, but not the other. No, we need all of that. But you have to understand what kind of church this church is. And what is our emphasis? Our church is on this narrow way. Christ and Heaven OPC has already entered that narrow gate. And we have to walk on that narrow way. This is who we are. This is what this church is all about. I pray that none of us will never forget that. Well, I guess I need to say this because we're dealing with this. You know, we talk about evangelism. We talk about witnessing, sharing the gospel with the lost world. Let me just ask you simply, is that okay for you? Is it okay to present the gospel as if it is a wide gate and wide way? Is that okay to present the gospel as if it is a wide gate and wide road? Don't you believe that we must present the gospel as what the gospel really says? Don't you believe that we must present the gospel as a narrow gate and narrow way? Verse 14, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few find it. Few who find it. Thus, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do not be discouraged when people do not respond to you. When you present the gospel as a narrow gate and narrow way and people don't like it, don't be discouraged. God already said only few will find it. So don't even expect when you go out and present this gospel that so many people will flock. But don't be discouraged, but continue to witness Jesus Christ. Continue to witness His kingdom. Continue to witness this narrow gate and narrow way which leads to life. Don't be discouraged. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 to the 6, there is one body and one spirit. Just as also you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There are not many hopes and many faiths, only one. Even in terms of what we accept and believe, we are as narrow as the Bible is. And we cannot and will not tolerate all kinds of false teachings. And we will tell them that it is false. It's very narrow. And brothers and sisters, As you stand on this narrow road, I ask you to again calculate, what must we forsake as we continue on this road? What must we forsake? What kind of sufferings and persecutions we must endure? What cannot we possess? But on the flip side, what do we gain as we continue on this narrow road? And what do we possess in Jesus Christ? Go to chapter 13 of Matthew. Chapter 13. Verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. See, as God preaches this gospel, he preaches it in terms of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Do you get the point? The gospel that we're preaching is like it. Kingdom of heaven is like it. He finds a treasure and he understands how valuable that is. He knows the value of it. He calculated. He calculated and he said, that is valuable. So he goes home, he sells everything he has. He's willing to lose everything that he has because he understands how valuable that treasure is. That's why he is willing to sell everything he has to buy that thing, to get that thing, to gain that thing. He's willing to lose everything else. This is what heaven is like, God says. The salvation that we have in Christ, the life that we have gained in Christ, is it worth it? Is it worth to lose everything that you have just to gain that? Gain Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 9, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him. Is God asking too much of us? This is just too much. I mean, I don't mind, you know, coming to worship on Lord's Day and attending a few Bible study, but this is too much. To lose everything I have. That compared to Jesus Christ, that I even have to hate my father, my mother, my son, my daughter, my wife, my husband. See, this is why our religion cannot be forced on anybody. Because if it is forced, then that's just what it is. It's forced. But you sit down and calculate. What do we gain and what we have to lose to walk on this narrow gate and narrow way? But I told you a long time ago, whenever Jesus commands us to do anything. Or rather, let me put it this way. He will not command us to do anything that He Himself did not have done for us already. Because from our point of view, that treasure in the field is Jesus Christ. We know how valuable Jesus Christ is, and we'll sell everything to gain Him. But to Jesus Christ, that treasure in the field is you. To gain you, He sold everything. He lost everything to gain you. And you see that on the cross. He did lose everything. And that is just to gain you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 8 is, after all, is the word of Jesus Christ. Yeah, Paul is saying that, but it is Jesus Christ. I have suffered all things. I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain you, my people. That's exactly what Jesus has done. But see, this is what is puzzling. Because He Himself, before the foundation of the universe, He sat down and He calculated. He calculated, what do I gain and what do I have to lose? I'm going to gain my people, you. And I don't know how that we came out on the plus side. This is amazing to me. Is it not amazing to you? That alone will drive me. That alone will give me this calculator. That no matter how I calculate, whatever I lose is nothing compared to what I already have in Christ. Brothers and sisters, it is worth it. If you are worthy of His death, He's definitely worthy of your life. But again, you have to calculate and you have to decide. Because those people who are walking on this narrow road are cheerful people. We're not dragging our feet. Can you just even picture on this narrow, you're dragging your feet? This narrow gate and narrow way, they are what our Lord Jesus Christ Himself has entered and walked upon. Jesus Christ has forsook everything, sold everything, just to gain you, His people. His life was the life of narrow gate and narrow way. You and I have been invited to this glorious life. Life walking with Christ. Life with Christ. Jesus Christ Himself is narrow gate and narrow way. John chapter 10 verse 9, I am the door, or you could put, I am the gate. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pleasure. In John chapter 14 verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And remember, if we go back to our passage, it begins, verse 13 begins with this, enter through the narrow gate. Did you hear that? Enter through the narrow gate. It is a command. It's not an option. God is not saying if you would enter the narrow gate, this is command from God. This is your present spiritual reality that you are already entered and you are already on this narrow way. And that's what I want you to see, brothers and sisters. You have already entered the narrow gate and you are already walking on that narrow way in Jesus Christ. This is your life. This is what Christians, how Christians live. And you cannot live your life as if you have entered the wide gate and walking on the wide way. That is not you. You're not going towards destruction. No, you already have life. But this narrow way, you could go on this narrow way only if you love your Lord Jesus Christ. Without that love, it is impossible to walk on this narrow way. Go to chapter 11 of Matthew. Chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, the last verse sounds like opposite of what we've been saying. I've been telling you how hard life that of Christian, and Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And those of us who actually love Christ will understand what he says. Let me give you an example. I don't do this often, but let me give you an example. Let me ask this question. Will you work three jobs if I ask you today? Will you work three jobs? I mean, that's like 24 hours a day. Three jobs. Will you work if I ask you to work today? Well, I'm not going to ask you on Lord's Day, but tomorrow. And you will say no. Definitely not. But let's say you have a son or a daughter, or even your mom or your dad. Let's say they're very sick and we need money. You need money to have an operation so that your son, your daughter might get well. You need money for that. Now will you work three jobs? And answer will be yes. Now what changed? Your love for your son, for your daughter, for your mom, for your dad. That love will drive you to do things you will normally never do. And that is what everything is all about here. Do you love your Lord Jesus Christ? Because without that love, you will never understand what he means by My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You would gladly follow because of your love for Jesus Christ. And if you need that love, my suggestion to you is that you come to the Bible, read the gospel, and understand the gospel. Just understand how much God loves you. And understand from what Christ has done for you, how much God loves you. As you understand the gospel, that love will increase. And seriously, brothers and sisters, without that love, you will not be cheerful on this narrow road. You will be full of complaints. And your heart will not be filled with joy. It's the gospel, brothers and sisters, that will enable us to walk joyfully on this narrow road. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, even though few find it, remember you are not alone on this road. First, Jesus Christ is with us. And brothers and sisters are with us. Oh yeah, very few, but we are with together. We are with one another. And remember, brothers and sisters, at the end of this road, our Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for us. We will be able to see Him face to face at the end of this road. Glory is waiting at the end of this road. It is truly worthy. It is worth our all. Even if we lose everything, even our lives here on earth, it is still worth it. And let us obey God. Today, as you hear His voice, let not your heart be hardened. God says, enter through the narrow gate. Let us obey. And let us walk on this narrow road with joy. God will meet you and He will receive you into His kingdom. In Jesus Christ, that is already our spiritual reality. And we walk on this narrow road with that vision. Vision of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Our eternal life with Him. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? This narrow road itself, the narrow road itself is already beginning of that heavenly life. World will never understand that. But I hope you understand that even as you suffer and being persecuted, it is still the beginning of that glorious life of heaven. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Remember that, brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for You count us worthy to walk on this narrow road. Oh Father, let us walk on this narrow road with cheerful hearts. give you all the glory and honor and thanksgiving. Let us deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow you. Cheerfully follow you. All the way to heaven. All the way to you, our God. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.